independence.
Well, here we go again. Suspected missiles, U.S. missiles, that is, killed 10 in northwest Pakistan. There's some fallout. Meantime, the Saudis are very close to a deal to buy $60 billion in U.S. arms, and Congress is about to get informed on all the specifics of that deal. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this show. Left, right, confused, or in between, doesn't matter. Whatever your ideology is or your stripes, however you wear them, just throw in your two cents if something strikes you. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. Right at the top, though, let's talk about the Middle East for a second, which would include the Saudi deal and a little bit about the fallout of the Saudi deal. It's kind of the time now that we're seeing so much focus, whether we're talking about the situation in Iran and how crazy that is. That's kind of been now placed on the back burner temporarily for the last couple of days, or whether we're talking about Afghanistan and what's happening now in the fight with the Taliban and to the troops who I think still have their hands tied when it comes to the whole rules of engagement thing. I mean, let's face it, pretty much all the action is in the Middle East. And there is this sort of this small window of time, if you will, that just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Here's what the State Department's saying, the spokesperson for the State Department, anyway, that's trotted out each day, P.J. Crowley. Take a listen to a couple of things that he's talking about.
Right now, our focus is on working as hard as we can to seek the release of all three of the hikers. This is the essential agreement that is available to both of them, and we hope they seize the moment. We're in a critical window. The next 2 to 3 weeks, where we hope that the parties will come prepared to continue to engage constructively. We have encouraged both of them to resume direct negotiations because it is the only way, to reach a final settlement. There is no other way.
Yeah, there is no other way. The girl that was with the two guys that were hiking, she's for the tune of $500,000 is out on bail while the two guys are still there. And that's one of the big stories out of the Middle East. Like I was saying, Iran, besides the sanctions and nuclear, what's going on with the nuclear armament, or, gee, is it really power or whatever? The other thing is the hikers that have become pawns, I think, in this game. They're still set to be tried. And that's the thing. You got to get the two guys out and then say, forget your trial. But they're saying, no, they're going forward with the trial. So he's right when he says there's a small window of opportunity. If there's a chance to get them out, they got to get them out now, because I think it's going to get really, really hairy in the next couple of months. And if they don't get out, who knows how long they stay there. All right, this is another huge story. They suspect that the missiles were U.S. missiles that hit a house in a tribal area on Monday. 10 people I already mentioned were killed in the 10th airstrike in that area this month. The missiles were from an unmanned plane, so one of those drones. They destroyed the house in this village, which is dominated by all kinds of nasty networks of militants who are fighting our guys across the border in Afghanistan. That was the idea behind the whole thing. So that's who was killed. The week before, 4 strikes pounded over 24 hours, and they killed a whole bunch of suspected militant folks, right? In other words, they killed the bad guys, the guys who want to behead our guys or at least trip them up with the with anything and everything they can throw at them, with the jimmy-rigged wires in the streets and, you know, the bombs that they don't know what direction they're coming from half the time, because they get cornered in these villages, and that's what basically that missile strike was about. But it starts the conversation on Al Jazeera as to the unmanned craft and all the same themes that we continue to hear over and over and over and over again. This is a real shocker for sticking to the Middle East here for a second. And I say shocker in the sense that you have to be kidding me if you think anybody's going to listen to this, but the Ayatollahs in Iran are demanding death to anybody who burns the Quran. What about all those Bibles that are burnt? What about all the American flags that have been burnt in Iran? But the two grand Ayatollahs, is what they call them, issued fatwas calling for the killing of anyone who insults the Quran, including burning, especially burning the book. And no one was specified in this decree, but it was thrown out there. And they say any action against any individual could only be carried out anyway with the authorization of an Islamic religious judge. That's nice. That makes you feel comfortable, doesn't it? See, and that's what people forget about this whole thing. When the Pastor Terry Jones decided he was going to burn these Qurans and then backed off. And when he really backed off is when he talked to the Secretary of Defense and a few others. I think they scared the crap out of him, is what I think happened, in realizing that, listen, these guys are playing for keeps. So if you want to do it and you're trying to make a point and all that, here's what you got to know. Here's all the death threats that we've seen, and this is what could happen to your family. Because they're serious about it. Now, what he said was partially that, but really pretty much the fact that he believed that he would put the troops in harm's way, so he felt like he couldn't do that. But as soon as this leaves, you know, as soon as this breath leaves my body, in the same time, you've got students who are protesting outside the Swiss embassy in Tehran, and they did that on Tuesday. And they set fire to the U.S. flag. I mean, they're always setting fire to it. They had a coffin that said liberal democracy written on it, and they burned that. And, you know, this pastor acknowledged that he got 100-plus death threats. 100-plus death threats. And who knows, you know, some were probably crackpots, but who knows how many of them were serious. You have to assume that some of them would be pretty scary. The tax cuts, what to do, the Bush tax cuts, weighing the options because jobs are on the line. All the House seats are up and 37 Senate seats are up. So Republicans in the Senate really doused hopes for a compromise with the Prez, saying that they want the Bush tax cuts to not expire. They want to continue them. And this has been a big flashpoint going into the November 2nd elections, because we know this, the Republicans are trying to get control of Congress from the Democrats. And so it's all going to be on the economy, the tax cuts, the tax policies, how's the middle class affected, how many people are going to the polls, what kind of people are going to the polls. Boy, it's going to get really hot in the next couple of weeks. Hang with us.
You've got your gold, water filters, and storable food. Now for complete self-sufficiency, make your own fuel with Revenor.com. Don't laugh. A quality still from Revenor.com and our free book included with every still is all you need to beat the high cost of gas and stop dependence on foreign oil. Find out how easy it is to legally make your own alcohol fuel at Revenor.com or call 503-662-4173. Revenor.com. Fine quality alcohol still. Stills.
Did somebody say Stills?
That's how Grandpappy made his own sour mash, and you can too. Revenir Stills can be used to make brandies, liquors, whiskey, vodka, and more, all perfectly legal with a permit. You should check into having your own Revenir Still at Revenir.com. That's R-E-V-E-N-O-O-R.com. Or call 503-662-4173. 1 year warranty on all stills from Revenir.com. Fine quality alcohol stills.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
So you got your emergency food, water, guns, and ammo, right? What about your paperwork? Your medical and insurance records, legal documents, emergency plans? Keeping and knowing where those vital papers are can really prepare you. That's why you need Prepared Binder, an emergency binder designed to keep all your important documents in one safe place. See Prepared Binder at PreparedBinder.com or call 480-284-1826. Prepared Binder, organized peace of mind.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, boating, tow line, shipyard, or decoration. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive a free 100 feet of 550 paracord. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Scatter shoot, which means we're going to rifle down a bunch of big things that are happening this week, including this one. It already happened. The underwear bomber, Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab, he's the guy that, remember, was trying to blow up the plane last Christmas in Detroit, says he doesn't want representation. He wants to act as his own attorney. And the judge said, okay, you've got standby counsel just in case, but you can do that. And it was a little rough, but this terrorist is British educated, came from a wealthy family. His father was a very successful banker, Nigerian banker, and said he was very familiar with the law. He studied it, and that was why he wanted to represent himself in court. So he's been asking a bunch of questions, I guess, and you know, this is the second time that somebody has done that in one of these cases where they have terrorism ties. Zacharias Moussaoui was the first guy, member charged in the September 11th attacks, and he acted as his own counsel until he went nuts in the courtroom and started cutting off the knees of people with crazy things in the courtroom and screaming Allah Akbar and all that other stuff. So Abdulmutallab was pretty soft-spoken. That case starts on October 14th, so this is one of those quick, let's get him in, get him out. I guess quick. He has six charges over his head, including attempted use of a weapon of mass destruction, willful attempt to destroy an aircraft, blah, blah, blah. He's pleading not guilty to charges of trying to blow up the Northwest plane. Yeah, right. I had a detonator and a bomb, and I just couldn't pull it off. So, no. I'm just trying to scare people. I wasn't trying to blow that plane up. And this goes back to that whole question of enemies of the state and what happens and how you try somebody and the information they give up and, you know, the crazy way some of these things are handled. So this could be a farcical in October, to say the least. Let's hope that Igor weakens. Julia's apparently getting stronger, and if you have no idea what I'm talking about, think about it for a second. Give you 2 seconds, two more, one, two. Of course, hurricanes and tropical storms, that's what we're talking about. Man, this is like the 10th one this season. So Igor was really picking up speed, but was so far away from landfall. But then you got to look at the projected path, because that's the key. How far away is it? And, you know, you're talking about way into the weekend. But Julia is also far from the land. Now, that can change. But so far, and I just looked at the path a while ago, you know, you're talking about Julia being in the far eastern Atlantic and the Cape Verde Islands, basically northwest of that area. So 50-mile-an-hour winds, this could dissipate, could turn into something more, but it's still pretty far away. So no coastal watches or warnings or any of that kind of stuff in either of these cases anywhere close to the U.S. at this point. The worry is with Igor, it's going to go through Bermuda, then what happens after Bermuda. And Julia could become a hurricane in the next day or two. It's the storm game. You know, ask any weather person. They're always looking at the scopes. All right, as you can tell, we're zigging and zagging all over the place. I mentioned the thing about Abdullah Muttalib. There's some other things that are happening. In a previous hour, I talked about the health care being challenged. Remember this, Florida, 20 other states are involved in this, talking about the constitutionality of it. And the main gist of the case is forcing people who don't want health care to have to get it or get penalized. Let's go to Mark in New York. Hello, Mark.
Yeah, I called you before, but I had to hang up because I was on Main Street in my town, and I would probably would have started hollering at the phone. The neighbors would have called the police. So I waited till I got home. I just happened to work late, really late tonight. Just really quick, Abdul Muttalib firing his lawyers. I can think of two lawyers that he should hire that would clear him or at least absolve him from the blame. Their last name was Man and Wyatt. We talked about this before. I'm not going over a broken record here. Mr. Haskell, him and his wife were on the flight, getting on the flight, and they saw a well-dressed man of Indian descent get him on the plane. And all of a sudden, Haskell, you can Google his name, America. I'm telling you the truth. They said the State Department, and it came out later, they allowed this guy on the plane. And isn't it funny that Janet Napolitano is sitting there on CNN with former TSA czar Chertoff, who was an advisor to Rapid Scan Corporation, who makes, ta-da, the body scanners, which are holding a biometric print of your body scan.
That's crazy.
America, you need to realize, I say America because I want people to listen. This is a freaking farce. They let him on the plane so they could sell the body scanners and they could herd you into line and say, show us a naked picture of your children, your wife, yourself, so we can keep it in a biometric database. That's what's going on, whether you like it or not, look at the truth. And isn't it funny how she said, Napolitano said, we'll never be totally safe from terrorism. But more than that, did you see last week, and how I mentioned to you over the years ago, and I'm nobody special, but I said, if I ever hear them say that we weren't attacked like 9/11, or when we haven't been attacked since 9/11, and I mentioned all of the small attacks, well, I won't even go into, but there have been scores of them all over the country, from shootings to wildfires to everything. And sure enough, this group with Lee Hamilton, the 911 commission, who I basically, excuse my French, mother effed the other day, he came out and said that we had, and we were going to continue to have these small lone wolf attacks. And that's why it just comes down to the point, Kate, and the rest of your audience, I tell you, just try to watch your back. If they break a pipeline, a gas pipeline, and by the way, other people, and I'll just say his name. Michael Savage mentioned this on his show today, and I go on and on, and I spew at the mouth here and over, but I wanted to mention, I just wanted to say something last week, and I should have said it so you know we were ahead of the curve on your show. I said, you know what, something's bugging me about this pipeline. And you'll see, just like in the Gulf, if another rig goes up, another rig did blow up, but they're, you know, they're not going to tell us the truth, because they will be so scared, you know what, Liz, if this is what's going on. Because if they can figure out, like someone said, how to fly planes, or if they can get the infrastructure plans, which are all over the internet, it's atypical warfare. And, you know, it reminds me of you may remember a couple of years ago, there was an explosion at a oil refinery in Britain. And the fires, I mean, the damn thing had just blown up. Within a couple of hours, the British authorities said it wasn't terrorism related. And my first question was, how the hell could
they know?
You can't even get to the site.
Right. So, how would they know that? Yeah.
Just those topics that you brought up. It's just that, you know, they said lone wolf terrorism and all these small attacks. But, you know, previously said, well, we haven't been hit since 9/11. Now that, even though I don't believe in the commission's report, but here the top spokesman comes out. I can't remember his name right now. He says, oh, we've been hit multiple times. I said, Jesus. Now they're coming out and saying that it's we've been hit. And even Napolitano, she said that, you know, we can't be safe and there's all these terrorism attacks. But she didn't mention what's the motivation behind them.
Right. Exactly.
Isn't this amazing how they step away from it, Kate?
They do. You're right. They step around it and away from it and sidestep it. And that's crazy. Because why can't we know that? Why can't we? What's wrong with knowing that?
Right. It's like you said, what the fellow just said, that he's a fatwa saying anyone who burns a Quran.
Yeah.
As a death threat. Well, what's motivating the folks? I mean, I don't care who created them or whether or not they actually believe this. We need because if we don't face the truth, we are finished. As collectively, we're finished. But on an individual basis, you know, I can agree. You can have a fatwa, kill someone who burns the Quran, especially if you're an imam, you're just sitting there reading one, and someone tries to burn your Quran. I mean, you know,
sure.
You have a right to try. Just like if someone tries to burn my flag, if I happen to be a t-shirt that I'm wearing, or my Bible, I'm reading a Bible, and someone comes up with a big lighter and some gasoline,
yeah.
I'm going to take my belt off, wrap it around your neck, and take your head off. You know,
right.
But so I understand. I'm just trying to be facetious here. You know, he's saying
right,
fatwa.
Right.
But it's the religion of peace. We can't accept that someone would go after our holy book, whereas the rest of the world has to bend over and take it in the shorts, no matter what kind of insult comes about.
I know. It's ridiculous. Thanks, Mark. Have a good one. It's what we keep saying, the same thing over and over again, and he's right. We've talked about that for a long time. He and I have talked about that on America Tonight. You know, hey, you can't have it both ways. Okay, it's fine. We can do this. We can burn the flag and do all the nasty things we want to do, anti-American rhetoric, and be outside of embassies, and then expect that you have a free society and people are criticizing the religion, our religion. What do you expect? I mean, listen, I hate the expression tit for tat, and it's not even tit for tat. It's ridiculous that you just can't talk about it flat out. Why do you have to be afraid to talk about it? And maybe it's because of the fatwas and realizing, okay, how far am I willing to take it? You can send me your thoughts, as always, at americatonight.net.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Bringing you the best in alternative talk radio for over 10 years. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
That sound could save your life. In our fast-changing world, you and your loved one may have limited time to escape dangerous nuclear radiation after a power plant accident, terror attack, or dirty bomb explosion. When that happens, you'll be glad you have Nuke Alert. More than just a radiation detector, Nuke Alert is a patented radiation monitor and alarm used nationwide by federal, state, and local first responders and the Department of Defense. Nuke Alert, attached to your keychain, is always with you and on 24/7 to promptly warn you of unseen but dangerously rising radiation levels. Nuke Alert incorporates a 10-year battery backed up by a 10-year warranty. See Nuke Alert in action at KI4U.com. That's K-I, the number 4, the letter U.com. When ordering anything at KI4U.com, type in GCN in the comment box at checkout and you'll get free two of their new just-released peel and stick rad sticker decimeters as a free bonus. Go to KI4U.com today and be ready for anything nuclear unleashed tomorrow.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
All right, here are the top blunders starting the week out that I just couldn't ignore. We need a little laughter on this show, so I think you'll be surprised by some of these. A couple of them have to do with medicine. This one from West Palm Beach. So a surgeon operates on a judge. This isn't a joke. And somehow he goes through this abdominal surgery for diverticulitis. Does anyone have diverticulitis? Oh, anybody listening to me, anybody have diverticulitis? It's rough. It's where you can't eat, like, certain things, maybe tomatoes because of the seeds in them or corn, and it's terrible. You have to treat it or you feel like you're choking. I had a friend who that happened to on vacation in the Bahamas, and it wasn't too many drinks and hallucinating. It was this diverticulitis, and had no idea that she had it and thought she was dying. I mean, I called the emergency folks at the hotel and the whole thing, and that's what it turned out to be. Some of you might have that as becoming more rampant. Anyway, that's what the judge had. So he was sent for these CAT scans, and there was a metal marker on the sponge that kept appearing in these scans, and it was misidentified. So for 5 months, the surgical sponge was in this judge, his name's Nelson Bailey, was in this judge's intestines, and the mass was more than a foot long and about a foot wide where they finally removed it and unwound in March. So they were talking about expecting something like a kitchen sponge, and then the judge was shocked. That was pretty bad. You get the judge in on your operating table and you leave the sponge. Then after the surgery, they incorrectly gave him medicine from the hospital's pharmacy that revved up his heart instead of lowering his blood pressure, and he almost had a heart attack. So this is like two mistakes. But I don't know that he could, because there wasn't any lasting physical damage to him, I don't know that he can make a legal claim. The sponge, not on the pills, but the sponge is different. I think he reached a settlement with him. You should see the sponge. In fact, I'm going to post it on the website. It's pretty big. It wasn't at all what he was expecting. Matt, can you imagine that? You go in for an operation. I hate it when I hear stories like that and the tool's been left. Oh, the scalpel was accidentally left. Oh, gosh, you're feeling okay. We got to go in there and get that scalpel. Oof, we accidentally left the sponge inside you. We're going to have to open you back up and go and get that sponge. And, of course, they're going to have to pay money because it's too big of a blunder.
Yeah, definitely. My old roommate, that's actually his job, is he's a surgery technician, and it's his job to make sure kind of everything's out, and they counted up all their tools, and that's what they do. He was telling me how every time they use something, it's like added to the list, and then before they close people up, they do a check and make sure they do a count, you know, and make sure they have everything. So when that happens, obviously it's a huge blunder, and that person gets a lot of money from the hospital.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's such a layup case. A lot of times what they try to do, like with this judge, especially he's a judge, but regardless, whoever he was, it was definitely a big sponge. They're going to settle with you because they don't want to go through court. They don't want that dragged out day in and day out about the sponge was left, and they don't want the headlines. So that whatever the money is, it's going to be significant.
And it's dangerous, too. People have
died
from that. You can get toxic shock. You can get all sorts of different things that happen. So it's definitely deadly.
Yeah, no kidding. How crazy. I bet there's more people, like Matt saying, his friend, I bet there's more people that are going to, there's a place where you could get a job. Start calling hospitals. Can I be the person that makes sure that things aren't left in the people's bodies that you're operating on? Can I go be one of those assistants and count the tools? Okay, this is another strange thing, and this isn't any surgeon's fault, but I think it was one of the weirdest stories I ever heard, and we didn't talk about it on the air. But a couple of weeks ago, there was a guy who had a pea that was growing in his lung. Yeah, and it wasn't a fake story. He was very 75-year-old guy, Ron Svendon, his name is, and they removed a half-inch-long sprout from his lung. He was really sick when he was hospitalized, having difficulty breathing more than normal, so he knew something was wrong, but who knew? That's what it was. So he ended up having a pea seed in his lung that split and sprouted. They removed it, and it had been lodged in the lung, and it was infected, and there was swollen tissue around it because it may have been there for a while. It was like a pea or a bean, and it had a shoot coming out of it. That had to be so odd for the people who went in to see what was going on, and you know, and they think it stayed in his airway because it didn't allow him to breathe very well, and he couldn't cough it out. So it was a pretty devastating illness. They were worried as to what it was. And I guess it's conceivable that a seed could get lodged in your lung. That's great. Watch out for those seeds. That is the craziest thing I've heard of, sprouting in his lung. Who knows? It could have killed him. And that's what happened. People inhale things because, you know, you look at where your trachea is and your esophagus, pretty close. I'm not great at anatomy, but we know that. So I can see how something could get wedged in there. You know, how tough it is. I mean, it was, ultimately, it was pretty tough to remove it, but they did, and now the guy's fine. But I think that's kind of a blundery thing. Don in Wyoming, you have the floor. Hello.
Hey, Kate. You're putting me on about this.
No, I'm serious. It's not some National Enquirer story of craziness. A guy had a seed sprout in his lung. If you think about it, like if you swallowed a seed, I guess it's conceivable. It just hasn't happened before that we know of. Maybe it has happened before, but never reported or removed that we know of. And it's a true story. It's not a made-up phony baloney, you know, crazy story. It's not FARC news or something.
Well, I want to know the scientific explanation of how the thing actually grew inside of his body. I mean, come on, the thing, you know, it's 98.7 degrees in there, and there's no oxygen. There's no, well, I guess he was getting air, but there's nothing to feed it. There's no water for it to grow on. I don't know. I'm going to have to, I'd sure like to see that. But I'm not saying you're wrong. I mean, you know, weird things that happen probably, you know, in life. But anyway, though, well, hey, I was going to call you last night, but I was so upset. I figured I'd just call what you laughed at me tonight. So.
Let's hear. What are you so upset about?
Well, what do you think? I've got a buffoon coaching America's football team.
Well, let me just tell you that. Let me just tell you this from what I know of what's happened now during the day since our satellite facilities in Dallas. That play that was called right before the half, right? The stupid. Let me throw this over to Shard. Let's try a lateral and see what happens here with Tony Romo. That was called definitely by Jason Garrett.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess I can't blame, you know, if it's, you know, Garrett called it, and I figured that's probably who did. But, I mean, to find out loud, Kate, you got, I mean, I just sat there and watched San Diego, and I got the ball on the 35-yard line right before half, 3 seconds left. They just took a knee and went in, you know. I mean, it's just, sometimes I think the arrogance of the Cowboys gets to them. They think they can score on every play, you know. Like Tom Dungy said in the, you know, in the off, and he's like, you think you're going to get a touchdown with 65 yards on last play of the half, and it's not a Hail Mary? I mean, what upset me so much is that after the game and listening to the buffoon talk, you know, he sat there and blamed his running back. Well, he should have just gone down, and you know, and they teach running backs, Kate, to run hard every second until they're down on the ground in the whistle.
That's right. That's right.
You know, if he's trying to blame his running back, he's going to just sit back and say, oh, that was a coaching mistake. Sorry. We screwed up, you know. And then, of course, the play at the end, you know Washington's going to put 8 guys in the end zone. You know, I mean, they've all got to do is deflect the pass. So that means they're going to rush 3. So how can you not block 3 guys? I mean, yeah, the dude got called for holding, and it was more than a holding. I thought he was trying to give him a noogie.
Yeah, Alex Barron is not a starting guard for St. Louis for a reason.
and I'm like, so you know they're going to rush 3. You got 5 guys, about 3 guys, and Romo still had to slip one of them. It's just amazing, Kate. It's, you know, they sat there last year, and Phillips was on the ropes, you know, and oh, we won a playoff game, and you know what I was really trying to do, Kate? You tell me, maybe you can find out about this. Has there ever been a quarterback in the league lose to the same team 3 games in a row? I'm kind of wondering about that. Because, of course, Dallas beat Philly twice in a row last year at the end of the season. And, you know, when McNabb was quarterbacking, and then they beat him in the playoff game. And then they played him again last night, and, of course, the Redskins won. But I was just sitting, you know, I was sitting there thinking during that game, I was like, man, because, you know, you normally don't see the quarterback played the same team 3 games in a row.
No, normally you don't see that. So I can see why you were so torched, Don. I don't blame you. I feel your pain. That was just an ugly game for the Dallas Cowboys. Thanks, Don. That was our game of the week, too, as Don knows, trying to take a guess at Redskins or Cowboys. And I think a lot of Cowboy fans were shocked. Speaking of football, we're going to talk about it next in Sports Shorts.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit, foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications. With low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions, RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
What is a wind generator?
How can the wind produce power for a small cabin?
How can wind energy be stored and used during an emergency?
Can I assemble my own wind generator?
For answers to questions about wind power, visit windbluepower.com. Did you know the wind could provide your family with emergency power? It can with a wind generator from windbluepower.com. Learn how our amazing LifeBreeze wind generator kit starts charging a 12-volt battery and just 6 mile per hour wind. Or see the new Cyclone X2 dual kit featuring two wind generators on just one tower. And learn why schools and universities across the country utilize our products to teach about wind power and alternative energy at windbluepower.com. All kits qualify for a 30% IRS tax credit for residential energy efficient property. Enter coupon code RADIO for a 5% discount at windbluepower.com. That's windbluepower.com or call 800-976-0026. That's 800-976-0026.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
About the sad, sad story of the South Hadley, Massachusetts teen, Phoebe Prince, who committed suicide, and she committed suicide after she was just relentlessly bullied. That happened earlier this year. It was such an awful story, and we had a lot of different people on to talk about that particular case, but also how rampant this is in schools. Whether they're private schools, public schools, whatever, there are too many stories of bullying going on that are leading to kids harming themselves or some other really, really sad things out there. So I was so pleased to learn about this author and journalist, J. Michael Mahoney, who decided it was important to keep Phoebe Prince's memory alive in a good way. So he actually started the Phoebe Prince Memorial Scholarship Endowment Fund in her honor. And he's also created other scholarships across the country. Most are really to honor young folks who died too early through some kind of tragedy or illness. And it's a pleasure to welcome J. Michael Mahoney to America Tonight. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Tell me about the Phoebe Prince story and how that touched you.
Well, I kind of followed it in the New York Times. The two reporters that were reporting it did an extensive job on it and went on for about 5 or 6 days of articles about the whole story. And it was such a shocking and horrifying story that it just, you know, I'm sure everybody that, you know, knew anything about it felt exactly the same way. So I just decided I wanted to do something to make sure that her memory was always kept alive and that some, you know, some good would come out of this terrible tragedy. As her dad, Jeremy Prince, said to the assistant dean of School of Public Health at Berkeley, where we set up the scholarship, that it was good to know that something positive had come of this terrible situation.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. I mean, just breaks your heart when you heard about what happened to Phoebe Prince. If anything, besides your scholarship, which I think is tremendous that you jumped in and decided to do that, but also that more people heard about her story and they're starting to relate it to other problems that are happening in schools, which brings me to my next question, Jay, is what do you think needs to be done to stop teen bullying and then the suicides from happening?
Well, I just think it has to be a question of everybody being on their toes, parents especially, because they should know more than anybody, you know, how their kids are doing, what's going on with them, and then also all the administrators in the schools and the teachers especially, because they spend a lot of time with the kids, and so they should, you know, always have their eyes and ears open to pick up anything going on like this. Of course, there's always, you know, with people that young, there's always some kind of teasing and kind of semi-bullying going on. And so but then you have to find out when it really gets serious and put a stop to it immediately, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Whatever it takes, and whether it's parental groups, conversations, more teachers that have to get involved. It's already tough for the teachers, but whoever has to be made aware of the situations and however they can figure out how to mediate and deal with them, absolutely, that's the route I would go. I mentioned that topic. It's not just the Phoebe Prince scholarship, but there's other things that you've done as well, and somehow you've gone out there and pitched it, and it's worked, and you've got these 50 scholarship funds. How'd you manage to finagle that? How'd you work that out?
Well, it was just kind of a situation over over a long period of time. Let's see, about 25 years, I guess, I've done that. And sometimes when I see cases that, you know, strike me as particularly tragic, then I say, well, you know, I think I'd like to do something, make a scholarship for that person. And so I do, and I've done the majority of my scholarships at the University of California, Berkeley, and some other locations, other schools, too. And so it's just a way, if you go down the list, it's kind of nice to know that these people, even though their lives weren't, you know, they weren't able to fill out their lives, the fact that they were on the earth and, you know, and is going to do some good because of, on account of them, a lot of other young people will be helped by the scholerships that were been set up in their name.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'd be remiss not to talk about this. You've got an interesting website. It's called schizophrenia/thebeardedladydisease.com. And tell us, Jay, why you set that up. What made you? How did you set that up? Explain that.
Actually, my name is Mike.
Sorry, Mike. Yeah. Okay.
I was in the newspaper business for a while, and in the last couple of years I was in the newspaper business, I kind of specialized in reporting in the mental health field, and I got really interested in the whole subject, and when I had a chance to get out, then I just kind of, you know, followed up my interest and just started doing an awful lot of reading, you know, all sorts of big books, case essays and stuff, and finally kind of came to some conclusions about the cause of mental illness and developed a theory, and I thought I was the only one that had it, but then I, like there's nothing new under the sun, I found other people that had come to exactly the same conclusion I had, but nobody paid any attention to them, and so I said, well, you know, what's going on here? And, especially a man named Dr. Edward J. Kemp, who was a very famous psychiatrist and psychoanalyst back in the 1950s, and he had a little paper that I ran across, and the title of it was Bisexual Factors in Curable Schizophrenia. And I read the paper, and I said, oh my goodness, he's got exactly the same theory I had. And so this man was, you know, very famous in his day, and he was a president of the American Psychiatric Association, and, you know, highly regarded man. But this, I said, well, you know, how come nowadays nobody's paid any attention to this and everybody's gone off in other different directions? And the only thing I could figure out was, like Darwin's theory of evolution, you know, he could write that out in maybe 10 pages. It's a fairly simple theory, you know, just the basics of it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, but nobody would have paid any attention to that either, so he had to spend his whole life, you know, documenting painstakingly, you know, proof after proof after proof after proof to prove his theory. And even then, a lot of people still don't believe it, as you know. So that's kind of what I've done. I've just tried to amass so much material and proof that if people read that, they say, well, I might not like what it says or agree with it, but it's kind of hard to argue with against all the facts, so to speak.
Yeah, and because you were a journalist, like you said, and you decided to delve into this and you had an interest in psychology, it makes sense that you were able to pull together all of the facts and organize them the way that you did. What people wouldn't know about your background, what I thought was fascinating, the journalist side of it, is that you were actually at one point even a foreign correspondent in Africa. What was Africa like to you when you were out there reporting on stories and whatnot?
Well, it was wonderful. I was over there in about 1960 to 62, and that was a wonderful time to be there because a lot of the old French and English colonies and were becoming independent for the first time and setting up new governments and everything. So I covered several Independence Day celebrations in Nigeria and also in Tanganyika, which became Tanzania at the stroke of midnight. And so that was great fun, and I met some of the young leaders of the different countries. But the main thing about it got me really spoiled because I kind of became my own boss over there, and I could have my own office, and I could kind of go where I wanted and do what I wanted to do. And if I thought I needed to go somewhere for a story, I was able to do that. So it was hard getting back to the States after that was all over and getting back into the old 9-to-5 routine.
Yeah, no kidding. Mike, fascinating stuff. Thanks for joining us and continued success in setting up all these scholarships. I think it's great that you're doing that, and especially this last one in drawing attention to what happened to poor Phoebe Prince. Again, thanks for stopping by ATN.
Kate, one last thing. Just yesterday I was made aware of a website that you might find interesting about a woman that was terribly bullied when she was young, and she's spent her life, she's 30 now, spent her life, you know, going around and talking about it. And she has a website. I can give you the name if you're...
Sure.
Like. It's GabeandIzzy.com. It's Gabriel Ford and her dog, Izzy. GabeandIzzy.com. I think she has an awful lot of interesting things on there if anybody's interested in the bullying problem.
All right, excellent. Mike, thanks. You take care.
Okay, same to you, Kate. Thanks so much.
Uh-huh, you're welcome. Mike Mahoney, Phoebe Prince, boy, that was a tough one. This Irish girl was picked on relentlessly at school by a group of teenagers, and she ended up committing suicide, and that really touched a lot of people. Stay with us, Odds and Ends on the Flip Side.